Like we said, Joshua chapter 10, as we're walking through the promised land, amen? You know, this is a very powerful book. You know what the name Joshua means is Jesus, right? Yeshua. Yeshua and Joshua are the same name. They mean salvation, amen? And so that's exciting because you can read the book of salvation here. And boy, it's a lot going on. I mean, you know, they come across and hit the city of Jericho and then keep marching on through. And the Lord is with them. Amen. You are in Jesus. Amen. Hopefully you were all born from above here in this venue, in this room today, that we know the name of Joshua, Yeshua, our Savior, who was crucified and rose from the dead, took all of our sins upon Himself and gave us His salvation. He has put us into a promised land. Amen? Are you living in the promised land or are you living in the old world? Huh? You know, you got to remind yourself when you get up that scripture that says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, how can you do that unless you know that you're living in the kingdom of God? Amen. I am living in the kingdom of God every day. Even if I don't wake up like that cow, you know, kicking his way out of the stall, you know, even if I don't wake up quite that way, I'm not down. I'm not under anything. Amen? I hope you're not. I hope you always know that when you open your eyes, you're in victory because God is with you. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And that was the promise that they had, the children of Israel did. They said, "I will be with you. For the Lord your God is with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Can you say that? Go ahead and say it. Amen. Wherever I go. If I make my bed in hell, He's there. So if I mess up and do something stupid and get myself in a pickle, you know what? God is there. He didn't just like it. You know, kind of stand outside and go, "Hee, I wouldn't have done that." Yeah, don't. You know, it's like watching a bad football game or a bad basketball game. Oh, don't do that. You know, He's standing on the sidelines. No, He is your teammate. He's out there with you on the court. He's out there with you on the field. He is your protector. God's the best linebacker or the best defensive back. I mean, He is saving your bacon. Amen? All the time. Yeah, He's got angels out there the size of, you know, 8 foot tall. They can't even come in your house. They're so tall. You know, so they stand outside. So God's got protection for you. Do you believe that? Or do you believe that the enemies that are coming your way are way bigger, like those 10 spies? Remember the 10 spies there at the beginning? As they were coming to the promised land, He sends them in. You know, He sent 12 in. Two of them came back and said, "Yeah, we are well able." You know, and they were the smallest. I like to believe they were like me. They were the smallest guys in the group. Joshua and Caleb, you know. They're the smallest guys in the group. And the other guys were all their best linebackers, you know. And they walked in. "Man, they're just too big for us. They're like giants. I don't think we can make it." You know, but no, you are backed up by the living God. Amen? So let's look at Joshua chapter 10. I always like to encourage you before we start, you know, just in case you run into a bad scripture, you know, one that kind of discourages you. You know, but this one doesn't have that. This particular chapter doesn't have that. So, all right, let's get in here, get into it. "Now it came to pass, when Adonizedek, that's kind of like Melchizedek, as the Lord is righteous," the guy, you know, the guy's name, and this is one of the kings who's coming against him, his name is Lord of Righteousness, you know, so you're wondering, okay, what's this about? Because you think of Melchizedek, you remember that king over in Genesis chapter 14, the king that Abraham tithed to. He was also a king of Jerusalem back in Abraham's day. Now, this is way further. You know, this is after Moses. So this is about, you know, 430 plus years after Abraham. And you've got this guy, Adonai Tzedek. And he is also a king of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is a kingdom that's a king. They're all city-states, basically. They're not one nation. These are all city-states that are typically, that are, you know, self-ruled. It's like Chicago or Atlanta or Dallas or Houston. You know, it's one of these cities that you got a king and you got a big wall around it, and basically all of these cities are independently ruled by, you know, by a king. And so they kind of keep themselves, and they got their own economy and all of these things. So that's basically how most cities were back there. They didn't have most of the nations were not nations like we know them today in those early days. All right? So it says that this was the king of Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken it and how Joshua had taken, well, here in this Bible, for some reason, that's wrong. It says, I'm saying the Bible's wrong. Isn't that bad? Is that bad? Should I say that? Had taken it. Well, it's I. And had utterly destroyed it as he had done. That is funny. I never saw that. Because I wasn't reading it from the Bible page earlier. As he had done to Jericho. So he took Ai, the same way that he had taken Jericho. Remember the city of Ai? He took that one. He had to take two runs at it, you know, because he didn't believe God the first time. And so, as he had taken Jericho, so they took Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king. And how the inhabitants of Gibeon, you remember that one? Is that the last time we talked about Gibeon, we talked about how the Gibeonites kind of made themselves poor and they came in, and we're nomads, and we're, you know, they were seeing how all the rest of the kings were getting decimated. So they got smart and decided to act like they would come in, and they were all, you know, decrepit and had been on the road for months. You know, they just lived in the town next door. And they all came in and said, oh, make a treaty with us and take care of us. They figured out that was a good idea. That was the best idea. And all of a sudden, then the Hebrews fell for it. But these people literally just wanted to not get killed. So they had to treat them as hewers of wood and drawers of water. That's what they said they were going to be. You're going to be servants to us. And how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel. So this king of Jerusalem, Adonai Tzedek, heard about this. So, and everybody was mad at them. Everybody was mad at Gibeon for giving in or for, you know, it's like politics, right? Isn't that true? So many nations these days will make a deal on the side, and all the rest of them will be mad. You know, it's kind of like people don't like that Israel is not, you know, condescending to the rest of their local community. They are making a deal with the United States to be their big brother, you know. And so when the United States is standing up behind Israel, you know, all the rest of the folks are going, okay, well, what do we do now? You know, because they don't want to go against the United States, or they don't want to go against NATO. An attack against one is attack against all. So the Gibeon is now under the auspices of Israel, under their protection, basically. And then so they didn't like that. And then they feared greatly. This is, you know, these kings and just the people all around. They feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, a smaller city, and all the men thereof were mighty. So all of these guys in Gibeon, who should have been, they should have been the leaders of the opposition, they gave in and joined them. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, the king of Hebron, and to Piram, the king of Jarmuth, and to Japhiah, the king of Lachish, and Debir, the king of Eglon. All these kings, other city states. So he sent messages to all of these guys and said, come on, let's get together. Come up to me, and verse 4, and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of all these guys, gathered themselves together and went up, and they all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon. So they're going to take the city of Gibeon now because they have allied with Israel. And so these are their own people, basically. And so they're upset about that. And they made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, and saying, slack not your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwelt in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not. So they had made a covenant. They had made a league or a covenant with, now God didn't tell them to, but they did. And so you're going to have to deal with that. Sometimes, you know, sometimes every deal is not an evil deal, but it's just not a wise deal, okay? Amen? You ever seen that? You ever had a deal that you made that was just it's just uncomfortable? It's just, man, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, I mean, the person you're helping is getting blessed, but boy, they should be trusting God, but they're trusting you, and your resources are being used up because you made a covenant that God said don't make. So you want to use the wisdom of God. You want to hear the Lord when you're making a covenant. But Joshua and Israel had made this covenant with Gibeon, and so now they're obligated before God. They're obligated to go help them. So here they are. They're coming up. Now God said, the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into your hand. There shall not remain a man of them to stand before you. Always remember, that takes us back to Joshua 1:8, right? There shall no man be able to stand before you all the days of your life, for as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. Always remember these promises, okay? Because that's true of you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That promise doesn't fall to the wayside for anybody. If you're in Jesus Christ, the same God that was with Moses and with Joshua, that same God is with you. Amen. So that means every day I'm full of joy, full of peace. Amen. Praise God. Now, something may come up, and in a moment, you know, I may go, oh, my goodness, that was irritating. Why would that happen? You know, you ever done that? It's just like all of a sudden your first response. But you want to, as you worship God, your first response begins to subside. And you begin to have a response of, well, that's okay. God's got this. God's got this, everything. You know, you begin to pray for that person who's causing that problem. You know, that one coming down the street is, you know, throwing stuff on your lawn, you know, or whatever that circumstance might be, that somebody is just taking advantage. They're not doing things that are a blessing to you or the community, but you're praying for them. It's true in politics. You know, people get, I mean, we were at a political thing yesterday, you know, and the thing is you have to be the man of God. You have to be the woman of God in that meeting. Amen? You have to be the person who is saying that God is in control, that God is our authority, that we're believing God. We're praying for every elected official, even the ones we hate. Not hate, because we don't hate them. Because we know that God wants to save Beto, O'Rourke. God wants to save, you know, Eric Adams, you know, or, you know, whoever the guys may be. God wants to save these people. He wants to, or deliver them from deception. You know, some of them may even be, you know, Christian of a sort, but they're following all kinds of nonsense politically. They're just doing what people are trying to get them to do. But what your joy is because you are standing in the presence of God, and you are the evidence of God's presence in the world. Amen? Isn't that true? You're God's presence in, you know, up against each other, but then as we spread out, we are the presence of God in a restaurant, in a given room, in our board meeting, in a church meeting, a school meeting, anywhere you are, the Holy Spirit is with you. You are the presence of God. The presence of God was moving across Canaan. And the people that were in Canaan in this day, the way that in this dispensation that God dealt with was to wipe out all idol worship, all evil designs and civilizations of living. Their entire civilizations were built around idolatry. And God had given the land to Abraham years ago, years before. Abraham was walking in it. Now you got all these other people. They're interlopers. They're people who have come in and built cities on God's land. God says, go in and take the land. God says, go in and take the land. Is God into land? No, He's into you. God is into you. At that time, God had a land for a kingdom. What was the purpose of the kingdom? The purpose of the kingdom of Israel was to bring Jesus to you. The purpose of the kingdom of Israel was to bring the covenant of Jesus Christ to me and to you. That's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to keep this whole thing alive. Don't kill each other. Don't steal from each other. Don't covet what each other has. Worship the Lord God. Praise Him. Don't take His name in vain. Don't worship any graven images. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You know, all of these things He says. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal from one another's families. All of these things He's commanding us to do so that the civilization will continue. Our nation, the United States, is a nation of laws. It's a nation of laws. Why do you have a nation of laws? So that you don't, it's not a nation of men, but a nation of laws, because men come and go. Men live and die. The laws continue and keep the civilization. And what's the first law? Is the Constitution, which does not change. It's a Constitution that does not change, the longest standing Constitution in the history of the world. And it has kept this nation, generally, from going downhill to pot totally. But however, you have now a bunch of folks in the nation who have forgotten God, just like in the Bible. Just like Israel. They forgot God. They decided they wanted to be like the other. We want to be like other nations. You know, we want to have pornography like other nations. You know, now we got more than anybody else. You know, we want to have human trafficking like other nations. You know, so we got Jeffrey Epstein and all, you know, all of his people. You know, and we got more than anybody else. So as much as we are the premier, the top nation for delivering the gospel all over the world, we are the top nation for a bunch of other junk, a bunch of other wickedness and evil. And it's because we don't pay attention. Because we don't elect leaders that pay attention. Joshua was a leader who heard God. Amen. Joshua is a leader who hears God and gets rid of evil, as God said, wipe it all out. Wipe it all out. We had some kings in Israel in the period after period after David and Solomon. Of course, Solomon kind of went askew. I mean, you know, when you have 700 wives, I guarantee you that'll be a mess. 300 concubines on top of that, you know. I mean, number one, you can't even make a decision because the only decision you're trying to make is who you're gonna go to bed with tonight. You know, I mean, that's your only decision. You got 1,000 women to choose from. I mean, and that's what a distraction that is. You know, I mean, how can you do that? So Solomon lost his way, right? Okay. And then he finally comes, writes Ecclesiastes, you know, and, oh, I've tried it all, and none of it's any good. And, well, thanks for that at the end. You know, thanks for that note of wisdom. You write a book when you're 100 years old, fixing to die. You know, don't do what I have done. You know, why don't you tell us that? You know, stick with it. Stick with how you started. That'd have been a better book. Amen. That'd been a better book. So all of that, all of those kings after him, some would do good all the time. Most of them did evil. All the kings of Israel, the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, the northern tribes called Israel after they split the kingdom, none of those kings were good. Then you had the southern kingdom, half of them were half good, you know. I think there was only one or two, Josiah maybe, you know, I mean, one or two that were, Jehoshaphat, that were good kings, tore down all the idol worshiping, you know, and raised up the word of God. You know, that's what you have to have. Encourage and exalt the reading of the word. So again, Joshua 10:8. So fear not them, I have given them into your hand, there shall not a man stand before you. Joshua there, verse 9, therefore came and suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them. The Lord discomfited them. That is, confused them. There was just, you know, we had a plan, but it's, you ever had a plan that was just, it just wasn't happening? It somehow had to, that's what the Lord does. To the evil one, as you trust him. He will discomfit. You know, the God can discomfit the plans of evil today. As you pray, you know, God can mess up the plans of the devil today. He can mess up the plans. You know, God says, I know the plans I have for you, and he also knows the plans he has for them. Plans to mess them up. And to make them confused. So the Lord discomfited them, verse 10, before Israel, and slew them in a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way up to Betharon, and smote them to Azekah and Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and they were going down to Betharon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. So they're running, and the Lord cast down hailstones on them just to chase them out. From heaven upon them to Azekah, and they died. And there were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Wow, that's a heck of a hailstorm, right? That's a big, you know, we had a hailstorm like that back in, gosh, Janet, was it 95? Back in, I don't know if y'all got it over here in Fort Worth. I mean, it happened at Mayfest. It was a beautiful day at our big festival downtown Fort Worth, or in Trinity Park in Fort Worth. It was like a beautiful day. This big storm blew up, and I mean, these hailstones, I mean, every car. People were trying to hide under all kinds of things. It's a huge open area, beautiful day going on. All of a sudden, this storm comes up. I mean, hailstones, just unbelievable. Like, you know. And I mean, buildings downtown, windows smashed, you know. There's some big hailstones. Remember that. So more hailstone, more died of hailstones than the children of Israel slew with the sword. And I'm going to look at... Now God will do that. I'm going to back up a little bit. Is that over? And remember Joshua 16. Joshua. over in the 6th chapter, the 18th verse, 6:18, where he says, touch not the accursed thing. God is with you, but don't touch the accursed thing, which is, don't touch the thing that God told you not to do. Amen? So the idea is that it's not about sin that... Sin, God has great mercy upon you, okay? Especially in Christ Jesus. But there are things in the world that it's best not to touch them. It's best not to do them. Why? Because they will hurt, destroy you. They will destroy you. They will take away from you. They will steal from you. Because they belong to those things, belong to the enemy. You know, it's like the things that the devil is selling. He sells a lot of things. You notice there was a serpent in the garden? Well, that serpent is still selling things today. And he said, oh, it'll be okay. Oh, it'll be okay. Oh, it'll be okay. Nobody will find out. Or, oh, it'll be okay. Because that's how politicians get snookered. That's how they get destroyed, is they take a bribe of some kind. They take a bribe of some kind. And so it can have to do with money. It can have to do with getting outside of your marriage covenant. It can be, there are all kinds of things that the enemy could get you to bring you into. But and said, everybody's doing it. Come on, join the club. Everybody's doing it. That's what they do up in Washington. You're not at home. You're up in Washington. You know, so who will know? You know. Or that can be true at work. You know, now that they put men and women to work back. You know, it used to be you didn't have men and women working together, right? But then, now when men and women are working together, now we have the greatest divorce rate we've ever had. You ever notice that? I mean, since the 50s, now we have the greatest divorce record we've ever had. Why? Because you had men and women working together, building relationships outside of their family. Amen? I mean, men used to have men for secretaries. Now, of course, there's a whole different problem there, because we know homosexuality has been going on for years, too. So it's not like something new. Oh, that's new. No, it's not. But again, you keep everything as you know, healthy as you can according to the Word of God, right? You know, you keep everything as healthy as you can because the Lord wants to keep you from sin, right? It's not about, okay, well, I guess you're not saved. No, it's that you still have flesh and the enemy wants to keep you from sin, you know? And you know, Pastor Jim would say, "Well, if sin's so good, go for it," you know. And absolutely true. But I'm telling you, it's not. So don't go for it. So, in my opinion, and in his opinion as well. Remember Jim would say, "Yeah, I didn't do all of that stuff because I knew there was consequences to it, and I didn't want them." You need to know the consequences of the thing, and you don't want those consequences. Amen? Saves you a lot of time and money and a lot of relationships if you forgive, by the way. Go ahead and forgive. If you got somebody you need to forgive today, go ahead and just forgive them. Just listen to your pastor. Just forgive them. Amen? Let them go. Let them go. Forgive them. See, let go of the emotional part. Now, if you need to sue them in court for something that's legit, that's fine. Just don't be angry about it. Amen? Don't be angry. The Bible said be angry and sin not. So, go ahead and be angry. Get a lawsuit. Fine. That's why they have lawyers, so you don't shoot people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you don't want to do it too often because they cost too much money. Amen. All right, glory to God. Okay, let's look at verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel. Now listen to this. This is funny. He spoke to the Lord in the day that the Amorites, that the Lord delivered, who delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel? The Lord did. And he, Joshua, said in the sight of Israel, so y'all are Israel, Son, S-U-N, stand still. And it did. But the Lord did it. The sun stood still. You heard about this, right? I think I've heard studies that say somebody back somewhere says there's evidence in some kind of science that this happened. That there's evidence. I don't know how it could be. This is, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. How could you figure one day? How could you figure you're missing one day? Yeah, I don't know. You know, I lose time. I lose time like crazy. Don't you? You know, there's some ad on TV that says there's a sunspot that is some insurance ad that added the 25th hour to the day, and businesses are trying to figure out what to do with it. You know, what would you do? Well, at least it'd be an extra hour every day. But, you know, for one day, God stopped the sun. When Joshua, his son, his man, commanded the sun to stand still. You wonder, well, could I do that? Well, probably not, because it says something later about it. But let's read it. And he said, "Sun, stand you still upon Gibeon, over Gibeon, the city, and you, moon, in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? Well, we got to go find the book of Jasher. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Well, that's just a Bible story. No, Jesus died, rose again. That's the truth. Did the sun stand still? Yes. Did Joshua command the sun to stand still and it did? Yes. Do I understand anything about that? No. But I know the Word of God is truth. And if God, the Lord said, then spoke Joshua to the Lord and said, so he was really speaking more than he was speaking to the sun, he was speaking to the Lord. Sun, stand still. And the sun stood still until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Verse 14, and there was no day like that before it. That's what I'm saying. See, it's not very often this happens. There was no day like it before it or after it. And that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. The Lord is fighting for you. The Lord fights for you. He did for you. He fought for you at Calvary. And he's fighting for you today. Jesus is interceding for you. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to the camp at Gilgal. I always think that's interesting that they, you know, they didn't take the cities and go live in them. During this whole period of time, they're living out in this camp in Gilgal. And they're going to do it again here in a minute. They just keep coming back. They just keep going back to their spot. Where their stuff is. They're just camped out there. They're not trying to enrich themselves with all these cities. They're taking the land out of the hands of the enemy and then going back to the camp. They're not trying to enrich themselves. Really interesting. They're not trying to move into a big palace. Well, okay, King so-and-so has a big old palace. They had Adonai Zedek over in Jerusalem. They didn't even take Jerusalem yet. They didn't even take Jerusalem yet. They're just destroying the presence of idolatry and evil, ungodliness in the land. And that's what our presence does in this land. People just don't like it. That's what our presence does, is exposes evil and exposes the enemy. They're bad about that. Verse 16 says, okay, remember those five kings that he got together, that this one guy got together? He said these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told to Joshua, saying, the five kings are down there hid in this cave. And Joshua said, verse 18, roll great stones on the mouth of the cave. Well, don't hide in a cave from now on. That's probably a good idea. Don't hide in a cave. Because if they find you, they'll roll big stones on the mouth of it. And set my men by it for to keep them. And then then it says, and stay you not, but pursue after your enemies. So they continue to pursue the enemies and slaying all the enemies there until verse 21. Then said Joshua, verse 22, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings. And they did so and brought forth the five kings to him out of the cave of the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass that when they brought out those kings to Joshua, and that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war which went with him. Here he's got his captains with him. He's got all the guys who had gone to war with him. And he said, bring those kings out here. Come near and put your feet on the necks of those kings. So that was symbolic of the fact that, okay, you kings are subdued by us. So they didn't stomp on them or anything. They didn't kill them right there. But they put their, in front of all of Israel, they put their feet on their neck. Just stood like you'd put your heel and your foot on their neck, you know. Say, okay, just like, you know, somebody was talking about that this morning. When they came into the city of Rome, like the Roman soldiers, they'd come into the city and they'd bring the dragon, the king with them, you know. Well, in this case, what they did is brought them out and put their feet on their necks. And they came near and put their feet upon their necks. And Joshua said to them, fear not. Here it is again. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. See, God always is repeating His word. God's always repeating His promises. And every day we remember His promises, right? What did Jesus tell you when we take the communion? Remember me. Right? Remember me. Here, hang on a second here. I got too many things marked up in some of these places. But he tells you over in Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, he says it's more important that you remember these things. And when I am dead, I want you to have these things in remembrance. So until that time, I'm going to keep repeating these things, even though you know them. If somebody remembers where that is, even though you know them, I'm going to continually remind you of these things. Like he said, until I'm dead, so that when I'm dead, you will have them in your remembrance. So we just keep repeating. It's like, you know, Pastor Jim kept repeating everything. So that now that he's gone to heaven, that we're remembering everything he said. Amen? Isn't that right?
Your shoulders sometimes when something happens.
Who was that? Who was that? Pastor Jim, was that you? Oh. But no, so he's commanding you. And then this is what Joshua is doing. He brings up that scripture first in Joshua 1:8. He brings it up again. He did it a minute ago, and now he's doing it again. By the way, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage. For so shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And after that, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees and all that, you know. And then they took them down and threw them back in that cave and put little stones on the door. And then he took and smote Makkedah by the edge of the sword. and all the souls that were in, let none of them remain. Verse 29, and Joshua passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him to Libna. So he went to all these cities, right? All the cities that the kings came out of, from Libna and Lachish and Eglon and Hebron. And so he went back to all of those kingdoms where those kings had come out with armies. He went back to all those cities then and just continued to clean those things out, clean those vestiges of, and that's what God wants in me. That's what he wants to do in me. He wants to clean out, there's closets in me. There's places in me that I've let go. Amen? There's closets in you that you've let go. Well, that'll be okay. No, it won't be okay. God is going to clean that out. Yeah, thank God he cleaned several out. Amen. You're losing more weight just because he's cleaned out several areas in your house. Amen. Your hair, you even look better. You have less gray hair because, well, not me, but because God is cleaning things out on the inside of you, because his word is a scrub brush. His word and his promises are a wonderful, wonderful cleaner. It's like Mr. Clean. That little right, what's that little white thing? Magic brush or whatever, magic thing. It just takes everything. Just gets rid of everything. Janet, get some of those. That little white thing. I don't know what happens to it. It just kind of goes away. Doesn't it? It just kind of dissolves the whole thing. Looks like a sponge, but it's not. All right, so Joshua passed from Libna and to Lachish and encamped against it, fought against it. So he took all of these cities. And from Lachish, Joshua, verse 34, passed to Eglon and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it. So they're taking now all of these cities. This is Joshua chapter 10. And then he went up to Eglon, and they took it and smote it. So it just kind of keeps telling the same story in the next several verses there. And he took it. Praise the Lord, I'm moving down. So Joshua smote, verse 40, all the country of the hills of the south and of the vale, the foothills, and of the springs, and all their kings, and he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God Israel had commanded him. So, I mean, I could have read all those verses, but you can go read them. But the bottom line is verse 40. He smote all the country of the hills. Now, he says, and Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even to Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even to Gibeon. Okay, so basically, Kadesh Barnea is like down here, just off into Egypt, and basically straight up is Gaza. So all of these kingdoms were in that area, basically south of Gaza in the Negev desert. All of them are actually west of Jerusalem. All right, so, and that's basically where this whole area is taking place, that they're taking that land. Verse 42, and all these kings in their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. You know, you can take something that looks like it's going to take a long time, and you can take it all at once when the Lord gives you the grace to do that. God will give you grace to retain your family. He'll give you grace to complete a task all at once. Not all the time, but certainly in this particular case, and the Lord describes it. He gave it to them to take it all at once. So don't count on that, but don't discount that, okay? Just press forward one day at a time. And then all of a sudden, you might find yourself five spaces ahead. I don't know, I was playing with my kids the other day on a little, we had an old Sorry game. You know, a game of Sorry, you remember that? and you'd roll the dice, you'd go forward, and somebody could send you back. Or and they had this little slide thing on there. If you landed on the end of the slide, all of a sudden, you get to go five more spaces. And that's how God can do. All of a sudden, you land here, and all of a sudden, whoop, you know, you all of a sudden move forward faster than you ever thought was possible. You know, God can do that for you. God has done that for you. There's been some instances where God has done that for you. God just took care of something, took it out of the way. Amen. God just took it out of the way. Amen. Can you say amen? That God took something out of the way. It was just really, really amazing.
I've never had anything happen like that for me. Nobody does anything for me.
No, you just ask the Lord to remind you. And He'll run. Lord, show me when you blessed me so I can praise you. I'd ask God to show you when He blessed you so you could praise Him. You know why? Because it's good practice for you to praise Him. It's important for you to praise Him. Why? It's important for you to praise Him so that you're walking in faith and walking in joy. Amen? It's not that God needs praise from you like, please, would you praise me? I really need it. No. You need to praise God. You were created to praise God, so it's your meat and bread to praise Him. It builds you up to praise Him. Make time. Don't just make time for a Bible study, but make time to praise Him out of your mouth. Amen? Make time to praise Him. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, it says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. It said, if any man pray in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays, but his understanding is unfruitful. And Paul said, I would that you pray in tongues more than that. I pray in tongues more than you all, and I would that you all pray in tongues. Amen. That's what he said. And it's a gift. It's a gift of God. Amen. I'm not saying your gifting is tongues in a congregational sense, but it says, you know, everybody. And they all began to, over in Acts chapter 2, they all began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave the utterance, gave the verbiage, gave the words. Who began to speak? And they all began to speak. So they spoke. They began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit He gives the utterance. He gives the words. Amen. And of course, all those people all those Gentiles over there in Cornelius' house. You remember that? You know, Peter was preaching. He was just getting started good. I mean, he wasn't even to his second point. And the Holy Spirit fell on the whole crowd of Gentiles. And they reacted to it the same way we did at the first. What's that, the first day of Pentecost? Well, so what did they do? The Gentiles were all speaking in other tongues. And Peter and all of his people were like aghast. They're like, what just happened? How could this happen? How could Gentiles receive our message? It's because that's what God wanted. Is that God wanted every person to receive. God is fighting for you. And all these kings, verse 42, all these kings in their land and their land did Joshua take at one time. All these kings and their land, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp to Gilgal. Go home, put your feet up in your tent. Amen. Another, like Fred Flintstone, another good day at work.
Another good day. Amen.
Been a while since I've thought about him.
Yeah. Me too. I didn't even have that written down in here. Wilma!
Poor Brad, she has no clue what you're talking about.
Oh, you can find it.
We can find it for you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do it now.
No.
Don't do it now.
Yabba dabba do.
Fred. And Daddy's speaking in tongues. Yabba dabba do. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Father, we worship you. We praise you. We love you. We thank you for this testimony. How you brought the people of Israel and conquered the kingdoms all at once. You conquered them all at once. Father, we thank you because you made a promise to them. Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you and will destroy all of your enemies. The way that God destroys my enemies today is he saves them all. Oh, man. I thought we'd get to kill them all. No. In fact, God today, he's going to save them all. The way they're destroyed, the way the kingdom of heaven is destroyed, the kingdom of the devil is destroyed is how people come to the knowledge of Jesus. Amen? So we look at all this. Oh, that's all terrible how they killed all those people, mothers and women and children and all that. Is that, well, today, guess what? You don't get to do that. Today you get to tell them about Jesus. But remember that God is with you to destroy the works of the devil, destroy the kingdoms of this world. Because the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So we thank you for it. Father, lead us, cause us to be vessels to take territory for the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank you for these testimonies that Joshua, the Savior of Israel, is akin to Jesus, the Savior of this world. And we give you glory and thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.